Great day for conspiracy theorists and people worried about the end of the world. It was kind of an apocalyptic day for the global markets yesterday. But again, we want to stress this hour is going to be all about setting in context this volatility in the markets, the sort of psychological dimensions of all the volatility we're seeing, and taking a look at some of the real signs of stability and growth, or even, you know, erosion in the economy, but the trends that are real, that more relate to jobs and people. We're going to be taking a look in Texas. We're going to be taking a look at the value of gold, the real value of gold, and the story of gold over the last 40 years. So a lot to accomplish in this hour. But the Standard & Poor's downgrade of the U.S. credit rating resulted in a decline of the Dow Jones Industrial Average yesterday, it's fair to say, of 634 points. That's the sixth worst decline in over a century, the biggest drop since the great economic collapse of 2008, which isn't looking so great. Who knows? Maybe we can exceed that. Here are some listener responses to what went on yesterday. Someone named Eileen in Brooklyn commenting on something Louise Story said to us yesterday. She rightly pointed out that the administration was aware of plans by S&P to downgrade and pointed out a $2 trillion discrepancy in their accounting. What followed was possibly more significant. S&P apparently accepted the correction and then went ahead and changed the basis for the downgrade. It was no longer based on economic information and analysis, but now the S&P was taking the role of political pundit. For me, it calls into question the motive behind their actions. And here's someone from Florida.
This is Nancy from Fort Lauderdale. I say today, show no fear about the S&P. Downgrade, do not give it the power that it thinks it deserves, and do not sell your stocks. Support this country and buy stocks.
That's one listening. You know how to reach us, 877-8-MY-TAKE, or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. So, Louise Story, Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Blame the messenger on this one at the S&P?
People sure are blaming S&P. I mean, you see it, everyone from, you know, Barney Frank, the Democrat from Massachusetts, who said they are incompetent, to Warren Buffett, that legendary investor, has been out saying that he thinks the U.S. is really quadruple A. Forget triple A. He says if there were a quadruple A rating, there is not. He would give it to the U.S. And so people are really pushing back. But, you know, others, the head of PIMCO, that's that giant bond
right,
shop,
the bond trader, yeah.
He said S&P really has spine. So it's very divisive. And it's sort of ironic because, you know, the rating agencies have the power and the market share they have because of things the government did over the last 80 years. You know, back in the 1930s, the government started putting in all these bank regulations and mutual fund regulations that they should invest based on ratings. And so that empowered these companies, and some of that is supposed to be done undone under Dodd-Frank. It's not really happening. But I think that's why people are particularly upset, because the government built these companies up, and now Standard & Poor's comes and downgrades the government.
And it's interesting. So it's perfectly fine, according to you, Louise Story, for Nancy in Fort Lauderdale to say, forget the S&P, don't give them this power. But when the government starts to say it, then it really sort of smacks of a certain kind of double standard, or perhaps a certain kind of hypocrisy based on the history of how we've used these rating agencies in the past. Yes?
Well, I just think, you know, that it's important not to get wrapped up in a sideshow here, right? Because a lot of the things in the S&P release are real issues that most people agree on. They talked about the economy getting worse. I think most people can see in these numbers the economy is pretty risky. They talked about the gridlock in Washington. Whether or not you think that should be in a rating decision, everyone saw that gridlock. And so, you know, if you debate, is S&P wrong? Is S&P evil? For weeks and weeks and weeks, it's kind of a distraction from addressing the real problems in the economy and the real panic in the stock market.
Although if a bank loaned money to somebody with the expectation that they were going to buy a hospital with it, and then they showed up at the Ferrari dealership, the bank would want to know that, right? The behavior of the holder of the debt is relevant to the rating agency, right?
That is absolutely true. And I'll tell you one of the things that I found a little surprising about S&P. They've been out defending their decision. They've been on TV and they've been saying, you know, explaining their decision. But I called them up yesterday and emailed back and forth with
their
PR woman to ask them some very simple questions that they were not willing to answer. And so this surprised me a little. I said, how many people were on your committee that made the decision? Oh, we can't tell you. Who was on your committee that made this decision that's been really important to the country? Oh, we can't tell you. What was the vote? Was it unanimous? Was it divided? We can't tell you. And so I have been
what
a little
happened to transparency.
Right. And, you know, particularly after what we've been through with the financial crisis, with the rating agencies totally missing it, I am a little surprised that this committee continues to operate in a very cloaked way and that they're not opening up the doors a little more, particularly given all the questions about the decision.
All right. Well, that characterizes the rating agency element of this. But let's steer our way through what happened yesterday. What we saw was that T-bills, the actual debt of the U.S. Treasury itself, held its value significantly yesterday, even though stocks plummeted. Right. Why is that the case? And is that basically affirming what Warren Buffett said, that the markets believe, forget the S&P, Treasury debt is the highest rated debt in the world?
So that points me to the message that a lot of people have, which is that the economy is one of the main concerns here. The economy is the driver. We've had so much bad economic data in the last few weeks about GDP growth and consumer spending. And just this panic right now is likely putting economic decisions on hold. You know, you're not buying that home. You're not buying that car. The company down the street's not hiring because they're just nervous. So that'll hurt the economy. And because people are worried about the economy, if you're worried about the economy, you don't want to hold stocks because a bad economy will go through these companies' revenues and hurt them. But in a recession, treasury bills are still safe. And so you would not buy treasuries if you believe the U.S. government is going to default.
And clearly the market doesn't believe that.
The market doesn't believe it.
So takeaway then, before we go, it seems to me that in a sense, President Obama misspoke yesterday when he tried to link what's going on with the ratings downgrade and the whole debt ceiling debate. In fact, maybe what the markets are saying is they're unrelated. It was a sideshow. It distracted us from the underlying weakness in the economy. That's what they're trading on right now. A recession is coming.
That's what I think is driving more of the fear, and some of the fear is feeding upon itself. But again, if it were really about the U.S. Treasury's creditworthiness, if it was really about this downgrade, people would not be buying treasuries, and they're buying them. So
there was a little sell-off in treasuries yesterday, significant or not?
Well, you know, sometimes it corrects along the way a little. But, you know, if you look at this trend over the last few weeks, all people want are treasuries and gold. Those are their safe havens.
And gold is up well above $1,700 an ounce. Louise Story, thanks so much for being with us. Louise Story, of course, a Wall Street and finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times, who explains it all for us. Thanks, Louise.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.